Well, something to put us in the ballet spirit. My name is Mark Wigmore. On this Tuesday, the Oasis on the New Classical FM, our look at arts and culture. Today we are celebrating a powerful voice in Canadian dance. Gerald Wolfe is an award-winning Métis choreographer whose work is known for its emotional intensity, athletic physicality, and deeply human storytelling. From his breakout piece, Soul, to major commissions across Canada, Wolfe has quickly become one of the country's most exciting contemporary creators. Now he's reached a major milestone, his first main stage world premiere with the National Ballet of Canada. The new work is Kismet, and part of a bold double bill running May 29th through June 4th at Toronto's Four Seasons Centre, it is set to the sweeping music of Ezio Bosso and explores the idea of fate and how our connection to nature shapes the choices we make and the paths we follow. At its heart, Kismet follows a central figure on a journey that is both beautiful and destructive, a reflection on destiny, transformation, and the forces beyond our control. This is Wolfe's most ambitious work to date, expanding from intimate to a full-scale production with dozens of dancers and live orchestration. Tickets at national.ballet.ca. Welcome to the program, Gerald Wolfe.
Wow, thank you for that introduction. Really, really nice.
Great to be with you. And where have we reached you, by the way?
I'm actually at the National Ballet right now, so I'm downtown Toronto.
Yeah, are you getting started with rehearsals?
Yes, this is day one.
Okay.
And I will be with the dancers pretty much up until the moment they perform. And then I get to sit back and watch.
When I first received information about this ballet and this new work some time ago, it didn't even have a name yet, I remember. And so I feel like we're seeing this creation in real time to some degree. Is that fair?
Exactly. And I think that's very exciting, not only as a creator, but potentially for the audience as well.
Tell us about that Métis background and how that's informed you as a choreographer. And do you feel like we see some element of your history and your background and your lineage in what you do with your choreography?
Yeah, that's something I love to kind of leave up to the audience to figure out for themselves. But the reality is, you know, a lot of my, you know, Métis friends and, you know, colleagues and other community members and even First Nations community members who come and watch my work, they're usually the ones to point out the likeness or the symbolism or the ideas that they see within my work that, you know, really resonates with them and reminds them of their own indigeneity, which I think is really special. But, you know, the reality is, you know, I started off as a B-boy when I was in grade five, fall in love with breakdancing, not knowing much about my Métis heritage. And then, you know, when I was around 12 or 13, I remember my grandfather reclaiming it and how important it was for him to be able to talk about a heritage that, you know, he was meant to, or at least his family was meant to feel ashamed of and had to run away from. So, you know, something very powerful for me is, you know, trying to honor my ancestors, trying to honor my mother and my grandfather who are Métis. And, you know, not letting go of that thing, even though if for me at a time, you know, it's kind of interesting. You know, I didn't grow up with the hardships that my ancestors did with their indigeneity at all. I didn't grow up feeling ashamed of it at all, you know, feeling like, you know, I was being forced to pretend I'm something I'm not. So for me, it's about carrying something forward, being proud of what my ancestors went through and representing Indigenous people, even though if, you know, I might not have grown up the same way as other Indigenous people. I didn't grow up on a reserve. I didn't grow up in community. But it's very, very important for me to not shy away from it and to acknowledge it and to, you know, be proud to be a Red River Métis that's out here in Canada and it's of mixed heritage and creating, even though if I come from a very contemporary lens in dance. But you know what? I've had so much opportunity because of my heritage that I am so grateful of. And because of that opportunity, it put me in rooms with other Indigenous choreographers, especially early on in my career. So I was surrounded by Indigenous choreographers from not only this area, Canada, Turtle Island, but all over the world. And so, of course, I would say that in my work, there is many, many voices and there is influence from indigeneity from all over. And I'm so grateful for that. And so can that be seen? I'm sure it can.
Jared, tell us about being approached by the National Ballet on this. What did you have to start thinking about? Because it's such a major project. It's a world premiere. It's a world-class institution. So tell us what happened in your mind.
Yeah, it was a very special moment for me because I felt like my journey here was quite healthy, I guess. It felt very like a really natural progression. But it did feel, of course, like the stakes are a lot higher than usual, almost like a wonderful challenge type of way. And the lovely thing is I got to work with the company on smaller commissions before this. So I was sort of introduced to the company, not at all like this, not like a main stage commission type work. So I just felt like it was quite special. There was that moment of when I had to think, oh my goodness, the pressure's on, time to create something really special. And then I kind of went inward and thought, okay, let's think up a lot of ideas and then let's let a lot of the ideas fade away and see what remains. And let's hang on to that and really make something special out of it.
I want to talk about that. And if you're just joining us, choreographer Jer Wolf is on the line. His world premiere work with the National Ballet of Canada is Kismet, opening May 29th at the Four Seasons Center. And tickets, of course, at national.ballet.ca. And so, Jera, Kismet explores fate, which I think makes sense given the title. Tell us about drawing on that theme in this moment.
Well, I always thought about my own fate and the things that had an effect on me in my career growing up and the things that sort of stayed with me. And fate in the way of, you know, things that went really well in my life, but also things that didn't go my way. And sometimes I would always sit and wonder, maybe it was fate, you know, for that thing to not work out or that thing to go poorly so that I could be here. And I don't know if that's an excuse, you know, us as humans making up an excuse for a failure or a loss, but there's something really beautiful about maybe it's not an excuse, but it's acceptance. It's, oh, I'm just going to accept this and I'm going to move forward and I'm going to continue to grow and I'm going to continue to move forward with my passion. And a lot of dancers, and I'm sure a lot of artists have those feelings of it must be fate if something works out or doesn't, because sometimes you just got to let go of trying to control it. Controlling destiny and controlling your profession sometimes is just not possible.
And it's fate intertwined with nature. So talk about intersecting those within your choreography.
Well, I think some of the most beautiful things in this world for me is nature. Growing up as a child, being lucky enough to grow up around nature, one of the first challenges I ever had as a kid was climbing a tree, that pursuit of height and just looking up at something incredible. And so we've actually kind of created a tree in the piece with bodies, you know, this monstrous mass of bodies that is alive, and it sort of absorbs this lead dancer and brings them into it. And it's something that, you know, this character recognizes as their fate. They see it so beautifully and they get pulled into it. And then the whole thing just falls apart. And I think that they envisioned it going differently. It goes the way it goes, but they find something else in it. They find this very consistent person that's always there with them, which is, I think, really beautiful. You know, you see an opportunity or you see something in your life and you go for it and maybe you fail. But in that pursuit, in that journey, you find something else. And in this case, this lead character finds a lover. They find someone, a true partner who's there for her and supports her.
You've paired this with Ezio Basso's music and a couple different movements from one of his pieces. So talk about what that marriage is, why you look to that sound, and what it does sound like.
It's emotional. It's cinematic. The beginning is a violin solo. So it's just very stripped, but it's very clear. It's very precise. And then it builds to full orchestra. So it just has this huge dynamic range and it's epic. Ezio Basso's music is so emotional. It's cinematic. It's human.
We are all very excited for this big moment in your career and a big moment for the National Ballet of Canada. I know it's all about creating these incredible partnerships for Hope Mir and the team, and they've partnered with you on this. So a big congratulations.
Thank you very much. We're so looking forward to it and can't wait to share with the audiences here in Toronto.
It is choreographer Jera Wolf and his world premiere work with the National Ballet of Canada is Kismet, opening May 29th. part of a two-part evening and happening at the Four Seasons Center. You can get your tickets at national.ballet.ca. It is Mark Wigmore here, your look at arts and culture here on The Oasis, the new Classical FM. And to celebrate the National Ballet of Canada, this is music you will hear as part of Kismet, Ezio Bosso.